Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
OurRadio.com Sports Insider Ryan McDonough. Remember, all insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. All right, Ryan, the season for the Rockets is over, but now it sounds like the fun starts. We've heard a lot of names here recently in the Big Three, and in our station here at SportsRadio610.com just reported it a little bit ago that it looks like Jeff Van Gundy, Ty Lue, and Sam Cassell are persons that look to be on the minds of the Rockets in terms as a new coach. But before we talk about those guys, you're a former GM. You know how this team was put together and things have gone. And now when you bring in a new coach, you see how this roster is. Do you think Daryl Morey should be the one making the decision on who the next coach is?
Well, guys, always great to be on with you. I appreciate being back on the show. I do. Look, Daryl has done a good job there. I understand that expectations were high. That's the way it goes in this league. Anytime you get to a certain level and then can't break through that level, which for the Rockets has been, the conference finals, it's a lot of it's about the trend line, as you guys know, and how it's going. But keep in mind, I think, over the last four or five years, the last four in particular, since Mike D'Antoni arrived in Houston, in my opinion, guys, over that entire time period, the 30-team NBA, trailing only the Golden State Warriors. So I understand there's some frustration that the team underperformed to some extent in the second round of the playoffs. They faced a very good opponent in the first round in OKC. That was a seven-game dogfight, as we discussed on this show. In the second round, look, the other team had maybe two of the five best players in the league, in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So there are some concerns about how the Rockets looked in games four and five in particular, but I don't think that it's time to change GMs, especially when Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey have committed to this roster. They've traded young players. They've traded draft picks. So I think, guys, whoever the next coach is needs to find a way to make it work with Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Eric Gordon.
What do you make of Mike D'Antoni stepping down, essentially, I guess CBS reported during a flight home from the bubble? What do you make of that? Do you just think the writing was on the wall, it was time for him to move on? Do you think it was a bad fit? Were there conversations had before? It's pretty quick for a coach to just make the decision that he's out of the running and wants to be a free agent.
Yeah, it was unusual, but I think it was a long time coming, guys. The Athletic wrote a very good long article today about the history of it with Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey traveling to West Virginia to meet with Mike D'Antoni last offseason at his West Virginia home. His agent, Warren Legarry, who's very powerful. I think nobody in the NBA, no agent has more head coaches than Warren does. So there were some ruffled feathers there. An extension did not get done. One of the things that shocked me, guys, and the guys from the Athletic are good reporters, are the number I think that was mentioned in the article was like a one-year, $2.5 million extension. I don't want to get too far down the tracks for your listeners, but that is way below market for a coach with the success of Mike D'Antoni, who's made the money Mike D'Antoni's made in his career. If that is the case, that's just way off base as far as what coaches with his resume command, especially, you know, a guy who's won for your franchise first. So, you know, I just think the writing was on the wall. It seemed that way. You never know until these things happen. You know, is it just posturing? Is it negotiating leverage from one side or the other? Clearly, in this case, it was not. And I think the jarring fact for all of us, including the three of us and all the Rockets fans listening to your show, was how quickly it happened. Because to me, it seemed like within 12 to 15 hours of Game 5 ending in Orlando on Saturday night, Mike D'Antoni was gone, and there was no turning back.
On the line with us is our Radio.com insider, Ryan McDonough. And when I hear you say that, Ryan, like, we've heard reports that sounds like Mike D'Antoni probably felt pretty disrespected by that offer, as you're just speaking. Is that an issue around the league for other potential coaching candidates? Do people view the Rockets as, and Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey as, I don't know if I want to go with that scenario if Mike D'Antoni, with the success he has, gets offered that type of money?
That's a good question. And I think with Tillman Fertitta in particular, guys, there are a lot of unknowns. The team's been very successful, as you know, since he arrived. But, you know, there has been some turnover and some you know, controversial changes with Mike D'Antoni being the most recent one. Obviously, the big trade with Chris Paul to OKC last summer seemed to catch some people, Paul in particular, by surprise. It seemed like, at least in his opinion, he received some assurances from the organization that he was not going to be traded, and then he was. So I think the owner is the wild card here, guys. But, you know, it's not all him. I mean, look at what happened with Kevin McHale, you know, during that incredible playoff comeback a few years back against the LA Clippers. James Harden's on the bench. Your listeners know that story very well. The Rockets come back and win. There's some friction and tension between Harden and McHale that bleeds into the next season, and then quickly, early in the next year, McHale is gone, which shocked a lot of people around the league. So it has been a transactional franchise, and I say that respectfully because they've by and large done a very good job with their transactions, but they have not had the stability that some of the other top franchises have had. When you look at Boston and Miami, who are playing tonight, or San Antonio, now Golden State, those franchises have had a lot more stability than Houston. And, yeah, I think coaches and executives around the league and even, you know, assistant coaches, scouts, everybody looks at that, wonders, even though the team is winning at a high level and we all expect that they'll be very good again next year, is this a stable environment and do I have any longevity, especially if I'm going to relocate myself and my family to go work for the Houston Rockets?
Ryan, what about the Rockets as they are, whether we're talking about the three big contracts in the guards with Harden and Westbrook and Gordon's contract, that's going to be hard to work around. Or you just talk about it from a personnel standpoint. They're built a little different, obviously, with the small ball approach being the focus, the focal point over the last several months. I mean, the next coach, how do they overcome that? What moves need to be made? What moves can be made for the Rockets from a personnel standpoint?
Yeah, great question. I think they are very limited in terms of what they can do, guys, just because of the contracts. Russell Westbrook and James Harden have 3 years left at 41, 44, and $47 million. That's a ton of money, as you guys know. And keep in mind, you know, the salary cap, at least in recent history, over the last 6 or 7 years, has always gone up significantly. For the first time this year, it may be flat or left to its own device, guys. If it's not artificially inflated, it could go down based on a percentage of a revenue split. And I bring that up because, you know, it's not like the Rockets are going to have more flexibility going forward. With the deals they signed Westbrook, Harden, and Eric Gordon to, they really don't have a ton of flexibility. They also don't have a lot of players, really any young players on the roster of value, and they don't have picks because they owe a couple to OKC, and then the pick swaps as well going to OKC from the Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul deal. So I bring it up because they're going to have to get creative around the margins. They've done a very good job finding guys like Daniel House and Jeff Green off the scrap heap. Now, I think the value for Green and Austin Rivers in particular will go up. I don't think those guys are minimum players again next year, in my opinion. So that means Houston will have to get creative and find somebody else to give them some depth and some talent, especially coming off their bench.
Ryan McDonough here with us, our Radio.com Sports Insider. And you spoke about this roster, and you said something interesting. You said that the next coach is going to have to work with this roster. And of the names we were hearing, like Jeff Van Gundy and Sam Cassell, the former Rocket, and then Ty Lue, if you are the GM, and you've been in this position before, if you are the GM, what the Rockets do and the flexibility or lack thereof of what they can do on the roster, who do you think is the best fit for the job? Is it one of those three, or do you think there may be somebody else?
I think two of those guys would be great, and the one I'll exclude from that group is Sam Cassell, who, look, I love Sam. We had him as a player in Boston. I just don't think he's the right fit for this particular job. I think he will be a head coach in the NBA. But the only reason I say that, guys, is just because he is inexperienced, like anything else, and not just in the NBA but in life. You do it more, you get better at it with experience. And I bring it up because I think there is a lot of short-term pressure on the Rockets to do well, starting from day one next year when opening night hits. And I think the two guys, Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy, I would rank them personally in that order, although I think they'd both be excellent. They have experience. They've won at a high level. They know how to set up training camp and preseason and practice plans and build a staff. That's not saying Sam Cassell couldn't learn it and be excellent at it. I think he could. But what I'm saying, guys, is they're three best players in Rockets uniforms now in their 30s in Harden, Westbrook, and Gordon. And with a bloated payroll and not a lot of flexibility, I think you need to be very good from day one. So I would go with an experienced hand. I love the fit with Ty Lue there, and I also really like it with Jeff Van Gundy as well.
All right, Ryan McDonough, we've had a great time with you. Real quick, by the way, you've been on the Clippers the entire time. You said you thought that was the best team. Now that they have Game 7 against the Nuggets, do you still believe that's the best team in the NBA?
Yeah, Joe, I also said the OKC Thunder were going to beat Rockets, so my apologies to you guys and all your listeners in Houston. I was wrong there. I still have some thoughts about the last after timeout sideline inbounds play that went to Steven Adams 30 feet from the basket, but that's another story for another day. I think the Clippers are going to win the game tonight, but as you guys know, Gallen Pal Show, we cover the betting angle pretty heavily. I strongly feel that the Nuggets are going to cover the 7.5-point line and may win the game as well. For me, it's a 51-49 proposition. I think the talent of the Clippers, led by Kawhi Leonard, will win out at the end of the day, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Nuggets won the game tonight. I really don't think that's an upset, given the way the teams have played and also given the way the Nuggets have come back from down double digits the past two games.
All right, Ryan, man, we appreciate you joining us, and enjoy this Game 7 tonight and the rest of the playoffs.
Absolutely, Clinton Show. Always great to be on with you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.